After the involuntary manslaughter conviction of Jennifer Crumley, and with James Crumley's trial approaching on March 5th, there's been quite a stir as his defense team wants to move the trial to a different county, citing concerns over fair jury selection due to extensive media coverage and community connections to the tragedy. Let's get some insight now from Todd Flood. He's attorney and managing partner at Flood Law, joining us on the JR Morning Live line. Good morning, Todd.
Hey. Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Listen, we kind of talked about this and thought the defense may want to change due to the publicity from the Jennifer Crumley trial. What's the chances that the trial is moving, and where could it be moved? Because this is really a national story. Everybody knows about this trial.
I think slim and none. Basically, the test is going to be whether or not you can impanel a jury. So the first step is going to be the attempt. So Judge Matthews will bring in the veneer. It'll be a massive veneer. It'll probably be three or four different panels than you would normally get. And whether or not, everyone within that panel or 12 and a few alternates, four or five alternates, can set aside their biases and their prejudice, because everyone has those things. Can you set them aside and listen to the evidence fairly? You first have to attempt this. The attorney, the team, they're doing their job. That's the right prophylactic measure you have to throw in advance. But Judge Matthews and the cases they cite in their motion really were cases, the main case in Michigan, which the Supreme Court reversed the Court of Appeals in saying they impaneled a fair jury in this case. Everyone had plenty of time to voir dire, to ask questions of the prospective jurors. And if someone heard something, that they isolated that juror and they peeled back the layers of the onion of how that person thinks and to determine whether or not they could be fair and impartial. That's going to happen here. And quite candidly, think about it around the state of Michigan. If you lived in a small town in, the Thumb or up in the Upper Peninsula, and everyone heard about the case, does that mean that all of a sudden, it's an automatic de facto, you got to go to another county? No. So first try to impanel and then ask the questions to see how a person, whether or not they have some preconceived idea, whether or not they can sit fairly, whether or not they have, paint on as it relates to one way or the other, they have a positive thought on how the outcome should be. Those are going to be eliminated for cause. And those people that have that, and the ones that can say, hey, listen, and you really test them, and that's difficult. It's hard because no one wants to be asked, those types of questions in front of 100 people, but that's what's going to take place. And I think we'll be able to sit a jury in Oakland County. It's just going to take work. That's all.
Todd, Assistant Oakland County Prosecutor Mark Keese wrote a filing saying, due to emotional impact of witness testimony, it's a real possibility that one or more witnesses may not be available to testify. So what does the prosecution do? They've added students to the witness list.
Yeah. We touched upon this before, and the fact of the matter is this, Jamie, is that these students have been through so much. And they're triggered on so many different things and so many different levels at this tender age, these tender years. We all have to put in perspective, they're 16, 17, and 18 years of age. The trauma that they went through, just to continue to relive it, is difficult. So they will put potentially some of those witnesses in. But I think the roadmap to this case, as you saw it in the previous case, and the juror foreperson saying,
Whoops.
Did we lose him?
Did we just have Todd drop?
It sounds
perhaps,
like he dropped.
Perhaps we did. While we reconnect him, as you were pointing out, the fact that these school officials say, well, we were too traumatized in the first trial, we're not going to testify again.
But by doing that, now students
now
are on the list.
The kids now. Right.
And you pointed that out, and you're so right. They basically dumped their burden, and I understand it's a heavy burden, but dumped it on the kids. Todd is back. Todd, I wanted you to complete your thought, but I've got another question for you, if that's okay.
Yeah, sure, bring it.
So I know, I'm sure you're aware of the situation in Southfield where a parent rented a room at the Westin Hotel. It was a weekend thing. They knew there was going to be a party, and a bunch of kids got in there. One of them pulled out a stolen Glock and shot another one in the face. That young man has since passed away, just 15 years old. Is that case ripe for looking at charging parents there with involuntary manslaughter? Because to a lot of us armchair parents sitting here, that certainly looks like gross negligence.
So, you know, everything's going to be based and born out of facts. Did the parent know that the person had a gun? Did the parent know that he stole a gun? Did the parent know that, you know, that there was this potential or possibility? Was it reasonably foreseeable? That's going to be the big question. Was it reasonably foreseeable that something like this could happen? You know, that's going to be the coup de grace. That's going to be the question. This is ugly. This is insanely tragic. If you have a teenager and, you know, you rent them a room and you don't have an adult in the hotel room, or you don't have an adult next to them, you know, in a room next to them, that's obviously a recipe for disaster, especially, you know, with alcohol being provided. And you know as well as I do that kids are going to want to get into that mischief. I mean, that's just
there were drugs in the room.
Yeah, that's just par for the course, right? So I it's going to definitely be all about facts. Just get me the facts. And that's the investigation. So hypothetically speaking, if there are facts that show there was, you know, Johnny has a gun or a potential for a gun, or someone gave that knowledge to a parent and there's no supervision, there can be some serious problems for that parent because he put people in harm's way. That I think, though, common sense would dictate that what adult would possibly do that? You know, it shocked the conscience, but we grew up in a time when I was in high school. Yeah. Did we have a hotel room for the guys, you know, on prom night back, you know, 40 years ago? Sure. Right. But, you know, at the end of the day, we didn't think about guns.
No.
We didn't think about, you know, putting cocaine and heroin and whatever it was in the hotel room. So it just blows me away that parents don't, in today's day and age, with all the fast-moving media coming at you on these TikToks and everything else on these kids' phones, that you don't have a better eye or supervision over them.
Well, Todd, thank you so much for your insight, as always, and have a great weekend.
You guys too, and just an FYI, if you do the paddleball round robin, I'm taking Jamie in the bet.
So. All right, let's go.
Coming up at 8:35, Tom Izzo.